Hey everybody, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we talk about the comedic, bizarre, fantastic horror movie, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and something that's a little bit more lighthearted than our normal horror fare. Thanks for listening. If you're interested in supporting us, go to patreon.com/myopia. And if you haven't rated or reviewed us or shared us in a while, please do. We'd like to see our numbers spike. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we're doing Chiodo Brothers. Classic. Killer Clowns from Outer Space. You'll know them more for their puppet work, like on Team America, World Police, and stuff.
Yes.
Than other movies they've done, because this is their kind of one standout. but Killer Clowns from Outer Space, 1988, starring no one except for the bad guy.
Except for John Vernon
from Animal House. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia Movies and Riffer on Cineprov, and on panel we have
author Matthew W. Quinn, who writes a much less cheerful alien invasion novel, The Atlanta Incursion.
Find it where all stores are. Yeah.
Hello, this is Daniel, a frequent contributor of popdose.com, and I'm going to knock your block off.
Best death in the movie.
I'm Brittany, and no one's going to put me in a balloon again.
That's right. Mm. There you go.
What about a cotton candy cocoon?
Oh my God, these things.
It's too sticky.
Well, you made it a human slushy, you won't care anymore.
True. But that, like, 30 seconds before I die is really sticky, and I'm uncomfortable.
So sticky. So sticky.
I wonder where that the cotton candy came from.
So, brace yourself. And John Burton gets the titular line. He goes, "So you're telling me there are killer clowns from outer space?"
And remember, you just went full John, not John Voight, from Ricochet.
You're talking about
British guy.
No, he's an American, John Lithgow.
You want Lithgow there for
a
second.
I did do a Lithgow. But Vernon is at like 12 the whole time. Like he's yelling at Delta House. He's like, clowns are on probation for half of it.
He's yelling at Dirty Harry for breaking regulations in San Francisco.
And it's funny because he's not the ranking officer.
No, he's just a cop. He's just a regular cop, just like Dave. Well,
I mean, it's a small town. He's the sheriff, I think.
I think he's subordinate to the blonde ex-boyfriend cop, but he doesn't like it, so he's just constantly pushing him.
He really feels like he resents Dave because, like, Dave went to the police academy. You got that academy training. Like, what kind of training did you get, sir? Who gave you a badge?
Apparently, it's just someone beating up hippies. Like,
yeah, somebody with bad judgment gave him a badge. That's why.
Yeah. So. They're killer clowns from outer space. Like the plot
that's the whole show.
So often these movies have a theme. Like a good horror, there's no thoughts here. It's just like they design cool costumes and like let's be from outer space.
Unless you want to wedge in some lesson about police brutality or something, this movie doesn't have any deeper themes.
There's
killer
kind of,
clowns.
It's just killer clowns from space.
There's a thing about maturity, I guess, because these are stupid, silly little things. But even that's a push.
The directors of this, what did we decide it was pronounced?
Chiodo?
Chiodo, yeah.
They're actually very... They've done a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They did Team America, like Nick said. They did they did RoboCop. They did some of the puppet work there. They did Freaked. They did the puppet work in Elf. And... previous episode, they did the puppet work for the talking burgers and Good Burger in that opening scene.
That's right.
I did learn that they reused the molds from two of the killer clowns because they had a couple standard molds. They reused two of those molds for the Halloween classic Ernest Scared Stupid for the trolls.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah.
Well, and also, I guess we should say, they worked with Elvira to do some of her interstitial work.
Oh, nice.
But...
Did they do her movie, too?
No, there wasn't really any puppet work in...
Not that I know of.
No.
But, like, on her show, they would do, like, kind of bits in between, like, Mystery Science Theater would, and they were the guys, the puppet guys. But I will say, they have announced that they're making a sequel to this movie. The Return of the Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah, it's been in the works for so long. Like, they come out like, we're going to do it. Oh, we can't do it anymore. And then there's supposed to be like a TV show or something.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, if it happens, it happens. I just hope it keeps practical.
Now I'm imagining it's something like Cobra Kai, we're all like 50.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
And they're still having the same problem they did when they were 16.
Well, one of the things I heard, like, possible storylines was that Mike is still in the town and he's kind of like the town drunk. And when they show up again, he's trying to warn everyone and nobody believes him.
Which one is Mike?
The
main character.
They're like, okay, they're the most generic looking people from the 80s.
Yes.
Like a couple times I was like, wait, that's Dave. No, that's another guy. Like, they really are. They're so hard to distinguish.
Well, the cop is blonde.
Yeah, the cop is blonde. That's but Dave. There's like a blonde guy that the clown is chasing in the car. I'm like, is that Dave? Why did he get out of his cop car? Oh, that's not Dave.
Yeah, when he's like floating on his own feet.
Yeah. but yeah, Mike is the boyfriend, the brunette guy. Mike Tobacco, because he had a last name apparently.
And he looks like he's about to do either a dad on ABC or do 10 minutes of stand-up against a brick wall. Because he's got that horrible late 80s like professional mullet and a bad sweater the whole time. But yeah, his name is Mike Tobacco because they didn't try. His girlfriend is Debbie Stone. And you know what the best part about a sequel is?
He said Stone.
How is Stone? The best part about this.
No, wait. I got to address this. How is Stone a double entendre?
Stoned.
I know there's dead air there, and we're just keeping that in.
But I was going to say, the nice thing about making a sequel to this is you can still get all of these actors.
Because they're not going to do anything.
You could buy them a sandwich.
Only the thing that the girl that Debbie played, she was one of the girls in Weird Science.
She was in Weird Science, which was
before this, I think. And then a lot of TV work.
Yeah.
A lot of TV work in here.
And she's also in Return of the Living Dead, which we talked about. Oh, Part 2, which we talked about. She's in Potential Stay Tuned, Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
I had one of those books.
Oh, Remo Williams?
Yeah, the one where he fights a dinosaur.
I've never.
You could be making that up, and I believe you. Yeah. I have no idea.
Never seen the movie. I've never read any of those books.
No.
And like you said, she was in previous episode, Weird Science. But other than John Vernon, who has since passed, and of course Royal Dano has passed, but they died in the movie, so they don't matter. Or they can't come. Well, they can't come back, right? They can't come back for a sequel. You might be even able to get Chris Titus because his show got canceled.
Yeah,
his career's done.
He's not doing too much these
He'll
days.
He'll come back.
He does stand up work, and his show got canceled. What, nearly twenty years
ago?
Yeah,
he's done.
Yeah.
But I mean, our main character is now mostly a producer. He produced Lone Survivor, which no one saw here.
No.
The November Man, Pierce Brosnan. No. End of Watch.
With Jake Gyllenhaal.
With Jake Gyllenhaal and Mike Pena.
I shut that movie off after 10
minutes.
It was
a hard watch. It was hard to watch. Like, not in a bad way, but it's just hard. Like,
also some young David Harbour. Well, young David. Earlier David Harbour. Before Stranger Things, David Harbour's in that. And Anna Kendrick, I think?
Yeah.
I mean, End of Watch is one on my list I have not seen, I will admit. But anyway, so...
You don't need to see it. It's not good.
You should watch it.
Okay. No.
I like it. Angel and Devil.
Different opinions on we
I got to the part where, they were about to arrest that one guy.
I've seen
and
it once. I liked it, but I cried really hard.
The whole thing was like Jake Gyllenhaal... filming
he's
day
trying
of
to
his...
film a movie or something for school.
Then
for community college. No, well, in the first 10 minutes, there's a scene where, like, they go and serve an arrest warrant, and the guy's like, hey, if I can beat you in a boxing match, can you just dismiss the warrant? And Michael Pena's like, okay, and so that's what happens. And then Jake Gyllenhaal's, like, looking at the camera every once in a while going, oh, man, this is awesome. I'm like, what the fuck am I watching?
There you go.
So killer clowns from outer space.
You want to give us a plot synopsis, Brittany?
There are killer clowns and they are from outer space.
Failed it.
Yeah.
No.
A shooting star lands and it's a good idea for the teenagers or young adults to go chasing after it. And it turns out it's like a circus tent and there are killer clowns and they take over the town and start kidnapping everybody. And
that's it.
And turn into the cotton candy filled slushies.
Yes.
Did they explain why the clowns are there and what they're trying to do?
Well, there's a scene towards the end, like in the fight, like when they're going through the tent to look for Debbie in the balloon. And the Turnsy brothers are like, "Why do you think they're here?" And they're kind of going back and forth and like, "Well, maybe they were here before, and that's why we have clowns on Earth, because we remembered them somehow." And then the Turnsy brothers are like, "Maybe they're just passing by and they're hungry." Like, and that really seems to be why. Like, because they're just there. Like, you see them kind of, like, one sticks a big old crazy straw in the cotton candy cookies.
Dude, and drinks it first.
Like, oh.
And the camera lovingly films this red goo
sliding up through the whole, like, huge, huge, crazy straw. And the clown's just like, hmm.
Nick, when you say goo, don't you mean goo?
The goo. Yeah, I mean, so I guess smash cut to make out point, the top of the world.
The top of the world. Are places like that real? I saw them, you see them in a lot of movies.
I remember
when
I was in high school, there was an incident where some people got kidnapped from a make out point.
Wait, what? Oh, look at your story for the next step. There was a place where kids used to go make out at this nearby. I remember a slasher film that happened in my lifetime.
This actually happened. Some teenagers got kidnapped from a make out point in California.
Okay.
Like, so they do exist.
Matt was not seen in the area. I'll make that clear.
The perpetrator got shot. Don't worry.
Oh, my God. Can we?
Well,
yeah.
So killer clowns and they're from outer space.
Well, what happens in this movie is an ice cream truck shows up trying to sell their wares, and all the teens pelt the truck with beer bottles.
They're puns, though. The, like, we'll give you a stick, you give it a lick. All of those. A tasty treat for while you screw. Just so... You're like, what are you...
But, like, this is... And it's so funny because... There is something about, like, maturity in this movie, which is really funny. Because, again, it's like little brothers. Like, are you going to do it or something? Right? Like, it's like they've heard of sex, but they don't understand what it is. And it's very funny.
They really want to. That's why they got ice cream truck, because they wanted to pick up girls. They say that a few times, because that's why you pick up girls is with an ice cream truck.
It works for me. I'm just saying.
Oh, my gosh. Hopefully you're not picking up girls. You're picking up women at this point. But it's also always because there's that bit on, I think it was the Gong Show, where the women are just sitting on the stage eating a popsicle like that.
Yeah.
Because that happens in the movie, right? Yeah, there's two women in sweaters.
Yeah, because it's the 80s, of course, you have to make fat girl jokes. Like you said we could have all the ice cream that we could eat.
We'll
take you home. Just keep your shirts on. Don't worry. You won't have a problem with that.
That was a funny line.
Yeah.
But one of them literally has a popsicle all the way down to the stick.
Yeah, she's deep-throating the popsicle.
And you're just like... Oh, I get it, guys. I get it.
So, which is better, the carrot scene in Fast Times at Ridgemont High or the popsicle scene in that bit?
Well, I mean, I will say, the carrot scene is supposed to be sexy. Yeah. This movie is supposed to be funny. Yeah.
Okay.
It works. I will also say, this is another movie you can just put on with a couple deaths excluded. This movie is PG, PG, PG. There's not even nudity for no reason, which you almost expect there to be.
You did. I rewatching it, I was like, there was boobs in here, but there's really not. There's no boobs.
It's two boobless movies
boobless
in a row.
I know.
Ye gods.
Man.
Hey, man, when you're in 80s horror, anything goes.
Yeah. Like,
if Jason was here, there would have been titties.
There would have been boobs.
Yeah.
Where's Linnea Quigley when you need her?
Right, exactly.
I felt cheated, quite frankly, that there were no boobs.
Killer clowns from Interstate.
I really thought that there were, though. Like, when she's getting in the shower, I was expecting that shot, and I was like, oh, we don't do that.
Just
behind the curtain.
We're at a make-out point.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
the innuendo is there, but you don't actually see anything happening.
No, it's a very...
Kisses. They are very polite young adults, contrary to what Moon believes.
Contrary to what the cop is trying to beat out of them. It's crazy.
Yeah, because we first meet the local police department. It's this bully escapee from a dirty cop movie who's just arrested a couple goths for some reason.
Christopher Titus's Bob McCready or whatever just walks in on a crosswalk in front of him, and he's all like, damn kids. He's just walking.
Well, and again, we'll get to these goths here, because they're the nicest guys. And these are even like ABC Family goths too.
Yeah.
Like, they're not like Because again, you could also make the 80s trope of them covered in like fake tattoos and
piercings. Yeah, the big spiky hair and everything. But no, he's just...
He has mild makeup on his skin and black hair that's kind of back.
They were just drinking wine in the park, taking a walk. That's all. Like, just let the man have some wine. My God.
And he goes... And the line is literally, you guys come from the local college,
You go to college, don't you?
Yeah, and he goes, yeah, man, but this is our town, too. And just like, damn right, we're allowed to use the park. Like, it's there's a very weird movie happening within this movie. But they get locked up to, you know, presumably die later. We'll get there.
I assume that stuff was a parody of, you know, the morning in America that was still happening at that point.
Sure. This is end of, you know, Reagan's America, kind of. This is 88.
This was still like that whole 50s nostalgia of every town is separate and the local law enforcement is the highest authority. And if you look different, we're gonna punish you, boy.
Well, I mean, we'll get there. But if this was black and white and the effects weren't as good, because these are all practical effects, but they're excellent, you could tell me this is a 1950s movie. Because, it's very simple. Like, you have a guy from outer space, the local police don't do anything about it until the very end when they have to kind of help the hero, and then it's just a bunch of teens running around. Like, it is a 1950s horror movie premise. You just have the Chiodo brothers making the greatest costumes that have ever been made. Scream guy, nowhere close. This is so good. There's no one as iconic.
No, the costumes are amazing.
So clowns arrive. There's a meteor overhead, and there is this old prospector
with a dog named Pooh Bear.
Pooh Bear,
which is so tragic when he died. The farmer's Graham, or sorry, Gene Green.
Father Farmer Green.
And he is reading a plot book, and the plot book says Halley's Comet, and he is convinced it has crashed in his backyard. So he is going to go, thousands of people are going to see Halley's Comet!
And of course, via Joe Dirt references, it turns out to be a giant turd from an airplane. No. It's
Holy
the killer
cow,
clowns.
Movie, that movie. Did you know there's a sequel that only appeared on Crackle?
Yes.
Where he goes through time?
Yeah. I did not watch it.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either, but I'm aware of its existence.
Oh, David Spade needs to stop. I liked him, but without Farley, he's just David Spade, and that's a real shame. when he comes across where this meteor he thinks has crashed, or this comet he thinks has crashed, he finds a giant glowing circus tent.
And he's all about it. He's excited. He likes the circus. And he's like, Pooh Bear, let's go to the circus! And he's trying to find the ticket booth because he wants to get in and he can't find it, and he starts to get frustrated because he wants to see the circus.
And then Pooh Bear gets kidnapped.
Just gets dognapped, and he is devastated, and I am sad for him because
Pooh Bear gets dognapped, and then the drunk farmer gets killed Mars Attack style.
He tries to punch the tent and it's like really hard, and then he grabs the
support cable.
And grabs it and very dramatically gets electrocuted. Just just shaking, and the lighting, like just the blue lights everywhere. And then he is the first victim that we see of the cotton candy cocoon.
That's right.
Yes.
And I will also say, this is also where we're introduced to the clowns, of course, because what happens is a cartoon hole out of a Looney Tunes bit just appears in the side of the tent, and we see a clown with a net.
Yep.
And he just scoops up. It's the other side of this is whether or not you find it funny. It is written like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Yeah.
And these are bits. The clowns do bits.
They do.
The whole time.
They do.
And it is delicious. But you know, Farmer Green is so upset. Pooh Bear, give me back Pooh Bear. I'll fight you, whatever. And then he dies immediately. Well, we don't know what the goose sacks are, but he's essentially a snack pack for later?
Pretty much, yeah.
So that's that. From then, shenanigans happen.
Yeah.
Basically, this couple that was on Lover's Lane shows up near where the tent is after making a very racist joke about Native Americans.
That's true.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
Some things don't age.
No.
No.
Yeah, I crunched.
This didn't.
I crunched really hard.
I mean, it was literally a
Him go that away joke.
There
and
was.
It's
cool, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from there, Daniel, were you taking us somewhere? Oh, Brittany?
I was just going to say that like Deb and Mike have left the top of the world with their champagne. And Deb is like all about wanting to find it. And then she sees the circus tent and Mike is all like, let's go. And she's like, I don't want to. Like, she's so whiny. Like, she drove me crazy.
When I was watching, he came off as real kind of pushy and annoying.
Oh, yeah, because he's like, well, you could stay here by yourself or you could come with me. Which one would be worse? And she's like, fine, I'll come with you. And, yeah.
In that tone, too.
Like, pretty much. I mean, she whines the whole movie.
She does whine the entire time. Oh, my God. Time.
I wanted to give her some cheese to go with that wine.
They get in the tent and have various misadventures being chased by clowns.
Yes, yeah, but it also cuts back to Mooney arresting the goth and the other one for just walking through the park, and you kind of see like he's shoving them around, and Dave is just like, hey, you gotta stop that. Like, he's trying to be like the good cop in it. And Mooney is just very aggressive towards young people for no reason, and
seems to hate everyone.
He really does.
We should talk about this tent though. When they're inside the tent, this I don't know where the production design went or if Featherworld is looking for ideas. This is the most unsettling because it's like it's very halfway to Pee-wee's Playhouse. Yeah. Like, it's bright colors, round shapes, very soft everywhere.
It's the inside of a Clowns R Us is what it is.
Yeah. It's...
But, like, there's no one there at first, right? They end up finding a Jeffrey's tube kind of thing, going down to this...
Yeah, the big, like, squishy buttons that's like, honk, 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 like when he pushes the buttons in the right order, and it, like, the door, like, is the round door, it slides open and, like, sucks them in, I guess, because they very dramatically, like, stumble into there, but... and she's like, we followed the shooting star and we're inside the shooting star. Like, she's convinced that they are in the shooting star that they saw. And they find the room that it's a very, very big open room, and there's only a couple of the cocoons in there at that point.
Right. Well, her boyfriend is convinced that's where they dry out the cotton
candy. Yeah, it's a cotton candy factory. This is where they hang it up to dry. Like, have you never seen cotton candy before? Like,
hey, babe.
Are you not allowed to have cotton candy as a child, and you just...
Not with that sweater you're not. Hey, babe. This is just where they dry the cotton candy. Because he's the hero, but he's not even a reluctant hero. He's just an idiot. He survives the movie. He just kind of stumbles.
He's just there. But they go around and start poking around and kind of pull open the cotton candy, and it's the farmer. Yep. They see like the farmer's like squishy face at this point.
He looks like he's made out of jello.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's just cheap. Red and inside this pink cocoon. They scream, they try to get out, and their screaming alerts the other clowns.
Yes.
They get to the top floor, they try to escape, and in one of my favorite bits, the clown makes a balloon dog.
Yes.
And the balloon dog hunts them down like a hound.
I love that so much.
That was such great puppet work.
Yes. And the dog's like yipping and like pulling at the leash.
And they're chasing behind it, and they get to the car and they back over the dog.
Yeah.
It's just a stupid bit, but
it's so funny.
It tells you exactly what the movie is going to be.
Is this where they also introduce the popcorn guided missiles?
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. The clown, as he's chasing them, has the popcorn gun and just shoots them with popcorn and it just sticks to them, and they're just like, popcorn? Why popcorn? Because they're clowns. Like, okay.
I think the popcorn becomes important later.
It does. But at that point, it's just popcorn. Like, it's just stuck to them, and... They pay no mind to it after that for a while.
For a bit. I will also say, the popcorn is the perfect example of how this movie was made. Because I bet you the budget was $3 million, $2 million?
Around there, yeah.
And if it hadn't gotten major distribution, we never would have heard of this movie.
No.
Because it's Trans World Entertainment, which makes it sound like it's a man company that decided to make a movie. But...
Trans World Entertainment. They do some of my favorite videos on Pornhub.
That's right.
The big haunting convention. The big haunting convention where all like the haunted house owners go for like looking at the animatronics and new like technology in haunted houses is called Trans World.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it might be related.
I may have to look into that. But.
Anyway, regardless, we get these great clown costumes. That's all they had money for. And so, like, when we say popcorn guns, They're holding a giant styrofoam something that shoots, and then there's a PA that throws handfuls of popcorn at people. Like, and that's pretty much everything. Like, the actors brought their own cars to set, I bet. Like,
it had to have been.
It's like all this,
that's their clothes. Like,
that's why the action is so slow.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I'm not going to ding my own car, so let's figure this out. But yeah, so that's kind of the first basic movement. At this point, the clowns start to appear in town, and then there's just bits as to clown bit, people die. You have this guy who looks like a young James Spader who's watching a puppetry show.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And then the big clown comes, like, and it's, you know, it's Punch and Judy. Judy shoots a ray gun to kill Punch.
Yeah, and their expressions on their puppet faces are changing through the whole thing, too, which I loved that, too. Like, just see, like, she's, like, angry, and he's looks, like, hopeful as he's trying to do whatever a clown puppet does, and then he looks horrified when she pulls out the gun. I love that. The expressions.
But then the gun kills James Spader. It's not James Spader. It just looks like it.
Blonde James Spader.
Blonde James Spader. It's the most unsettling of all the James Spaders.
Well, like, Debbie wants to go to the cops and tell them what's happening, and Mike is like, why? Because I don't even believe that this is happening. Who's going to believe us? And she's like, I have a friend there. We can go. We'll talk to my friend. And he's like, okay, fine. So they decide to go and take off to the police station, and then you see the clowns, like, just kind of very slowly making their way to the town. Like, I remember the town's name, like Crescent Cove or something like that.
Yeah.
And you see, like, the town sign as they're very, very slowly walking past it. They get to, like, a drugstore, and the clown is standing outside the drugstore, and two girls go to walk in, and he, like, camouflages himself for some reason. Like, he positions himself like a statue, because they have the gorilla statue that's, like, slightly moving its hands and arms. And then the clown decides to do the same thing, and they just kind of, like, scoff at the clown as they go inside, which I don't understand why he felt the need to hide from them, because he just goes into the drugstore and ransacks it and kills the girls anyway. Why did he hide?
You don't probably understand. Joke them up, as Mick would put it.
What's funny to me is, if this was any other filmmaker, this would be a mall scene. But I just love the idea that the clown is just obsessed with shopping all the time. He just loves the idea of shopping.
He's really excited about the drugstore and is just, like, sampling all the products while the pharmacist guy just stands in the back just going, That's all he really does is just, And the clowns don't even care. Like, they're just ignoring him.
But meanwhile, on the, like, the checkout counter, there's just piling up more and more and more crap. And then eventually another clown shows up.
The little clown comes in too, and he's playing in there too. Like,
eventually he calls the cop. And at a certain point, John Vernon is just sick because he's convinced that it's all a prank to make him, because people hate him because they do. But everyone's like, it's a Chief Wiggum bit. It's like, yeah, of course there are clowns out there.
And I'll type it up on my invisible keyboard.
Your wife got put in a balloon by a clown. You need a psychiatrist, not the cops.
Isn't it illegal for cops not to respond to 911 calls?
Well, dude, he didn't go to the academy, so he doesn't know such things.
Well, he's such a tool. It wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't give a shit.
But I do also,
but he
like...
thinks the Terenzi brothers are behind it, because Mike and Deb eventually make their way to the police station, which I think that scene is really funny, because it's all quiet, and then you just hear tires screeching for like 30 seconds, denoting that they are getting closer to the police station. And then they come crashing in, and they're telling, you know, like, oh, there's a tent in the middle of nowhere. And then Mooney recognizes Mike, and he's like, you're friends with the Terenzi brothers. They're always trying to stir stuff up. Like, this is just a prank. So he immediately discredits them, even though he wasn't going
to
believe them in the first place.
What are they trying to stir up? Soft serve?
Maybe it's a money-making scheme of some kind.
No, I just think they're assholes. These are people who would, like... They saw Porky's and they tried to do a Porky's, right? Like, they are losers. And he goes, yeah, I bet you they're trying something. This is always that. Like, that's the feeling I get. But they're also the biggest losers we've seen.
Mike, like, made a comment, like, a night out with them, like, you're always getting them to something. Like, they're just all... Like, it seems like they're schemers, and the ice cream thing is their latest scheme to try and get girls or something. I don't know. They are weird.
They are weird. But we get to the police station, and the way he drives is by driving into two cop cars and a mailbox.
Yes. With tires screeching the whole time that he's driving.
Which, of course, makes it look like they haven't been drinking or doing anything
stupid. No, that's a suspicious
sign. He meets... And, I mean, you keep doing your Debbie voice, which is fine, because Deb is Suzanne Snyder, is terrible in this movie. She's bad. But, I mean, just to describe her, she has her 80s perm out to here, and the most ill-fitting clothing I've ever seen.
Her outfit's terrible. She's wearing, looks like sweatpants and this huge, burlap sack dress over it with a long sleeve turtleneck underneath all of it. It is just the most frumpy looking outfit. And when they're walking through the woods to find the shooting star, she's got her skirt hitched up as she's walking through. I'm like, oh honey. I know the 80s clothes are bad, but really.
But again, this is also just to remind you that you're not going to see nudity. Because it's it's not even...
She's covered. She's so covered.
It's not even flattering. It's not even it fits her body.
You can't tell her shape at all.
She's sweating
in nothing in there.
Just listening to her talk about this entire movie, I thought of her other appearance in a particular song. Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt.
But you can't see it because she's wearing 20 layers.
Yes.
So
she is in a circus tent herself. But yeah,
my God, Michael, look at that clown. It is so big.
Clownzilla at the end of the
It looks like one of them Ringling Brothers girlfriends.
They only talk to them because they look like such total prostitutes.
Oh, we've broken Britney. That's funny.
Oh, God. Okay.
But, I mean, and throughout this, my favorite bit is the clown. There's people in line for some reason. No, they're waiting for a bus. They're waiting for a bus.
Please. I'm so sorry. But while they're at the police station, Mooney says a line that I just love because total foreshadowing, because he still doesn't believe anything that's happening, and he says, "You're not going to make a dummy out of me." Yes. Okay, sorry.
No, it's great. Yeah. He then threatens to lock them up for the night.
Yeah, but Dave talks them down and is just like, "Let me take them out. I'll go check it out." And they get into the car, and he's all like, "Debbie, I'm taking you home." And she's like, "No, don't take me home," because she wants to go. And he's like, "No, you need to go home and see how this." She's like, "You're not my boyfriend anymore." And Mike is just like, "What?" Because apparently he didn't know that she had an ex-boyfriend that's a cop, and that's her friend at the station.
Yep.
So he's just like...
The blonde cop who's
the blonde cop, yes.
The subordinate...
Generic blonde guy.
Generic 80s blonde cop.
Yes.
Well, during that whole thing where first they're trying to convince the police that what they're saying is real, and they offer to take the ex-boyfriend to where the circus tent was.
Yeah.
At the same time, we get scenes where clown shows up at a biker bar on a bicycle.
The quintessential 80s biker gang. Yes. Oh my gosh.
So he rides up on, they do every clown bit you can think of. This is one of them. He's riding a little...
the little clown on the little bike, and he's so cute, and he's all squeaky. And
so he rolls up to this... these are Hollywood bikers, but they're the littlest bit grungy.
The one guy kind of looks like Meatloaf a little bit.
Saturday night.
Rocky Horror is about to break out the next block over. Meathead, he looks like one of the guys from Revenge of the Nerds, shows up and...
Does he yell, "Clown"?
He should have. But he says, "Could I ride your bike?" He breaks the guy's bike.
The clown says, "No, can I honk your horn?" And the clown's like, "Yeah," nods.
Girl,
and then he wrecks.
You honk my horn.
But then the clown jumps off screen, jumps back with boxing gloves. What are you going to do? Knock my block off.
And he literally punches the man's head off.
And then you get the damn.
The one
black guy has to get the damn.
But it's also, it's not like an oh shit, it's more like, oh. I don't know, the way he delivers that line is that
almost impressed.
He is.
not horrified, just like, wow, that happens.
Exactly. It's like, when someone gets super sick at a party and you're just like, holy shit, that's a lot of barf. I don't know how to put it. Wow, you definitely shit yourself. It's like, damn. Like, and then they all get on their bikes and leave the movie. The bikers don't play any other role.
Nope, they're gone. That's it.
Other than it was a bit. It was a funny bit.
Yeah. But the clowns are, like, infiltrating the town, like, going door to door, like, delivering pizza, delivering chocolates, like, basically getting people to come outside.
We nearly have a porno start. Because there's a woman in, like, a nighty.
Lingerie. That's as much nudity as you get in this movie. It's not lingerie.
And then there's a clown that shows up with pizza. She goes, oh, pizza. And then there's another clown and another clown. And then a head just comes out of the pizza box. And I'm just like, someone do something because this is getting really weird.
What about the
I didn't order a pizza.
Clown chicka wow wow.
Clown chicka wow wow.
You just said that, Matt. That is forever ingrained into the public consciousness there.
Oh, God.
What about when one of the...
Someone had their sexual awakening during this movie, and now clown stuff happens.
Oh, and Harley Quinn came out after that, so it was a big deal.
Harley Quinn brought that person back into the fold. They had a very hard 20 years, and now Harley Quinn brought them back into the fold.
What about the scene that's taking place around the knock my block off scene, where like a clown shows up at Big Top Burger and is like trying
this
to...
This is the most boring looking restaurant ever. Like, everybody looks miserable inside.
It kind of looks like the Athens Varsity looked.
It did. Which is closed now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
Athens Varsity.
It does also kind of have like a... I mean, Pizza Hut from we did Poltergeist a couple weeks ago, but it has that kind of like, all right, it's generic 80s burgers that taste like nothing. They're kind of gray. It should almost be McDonald's, but it's not.
Harold and Kumar took a trip there.
That's right.
Yeah, there's the mom makes a comment like, this place isn't as fun as it used to be, and she says something about like, yeah, well, we're not the winners. Like, I don't understand that line. I went back like a little bit to see if I missed something, and I didn't, so I don't know what winners they're talking about. But just to back up just a little bit, I'm sorry. But Mike and Dave show up past the top of the world and realize that the clown tent is gone, so Dave handcuffs Mike because he was lying.
Which is not what I think should...
No?
Whatever.
Yeah, the...
This movie is a bad influence. I think Mooney's a bad influence.
I think so. There's very...
Well, I do also think there's supposed to be rivalry here.
Yes.
I think he's upset that he scored Deb, that winner that is Deb, off of, you know...
off of Dave.
Off of Dave.
So, I mean, the order of these things don't really matter, but my favorite bit is there are a bunch of people waiting for a bus and a clown shows up.
I love that.
And there's a light from a nearby, you know, street lamp. And he starts doing, you know, finger puppets, right?
Like shadow puppets. Yeah, like the start simple, like the rabbits. But then it goes to, like, George Washington crossing the Delaware.
And it gets, like, really good.
I kind of knew where this was going, though. So it wasn't as funny or suspenseful. But obviously, at the end, he's making a T-Rex and that just eats the crowd.
Well, but this is when Dave pulls up.
Yeah.
And then he goes there. There's one of those clowns right there.
Oh, well, because so he had handcuffed Mike. Yeah, Mike. And, but then they go back past the top of the world and all the cars are empty. And Dave gets out to investigate and he sees... Christopher Titus's car is like covered in the cotton candy stuff, and he pulls his glasses out, so he's like, oh. So then he goes to uncuff date Mike, and Mike is like,
was that at a Big Top Burger or Lover's Lane?
No, this is at the top of the world.
The Lover's Lane.
Yeah. Okay. So Dave is finally acknowledging that something weird is going on, so he uncuffs Mike. So they go back into the town, and they're driving around looking for a clown, and that they see the clown at the bus stop. So there's a clown right there. Get him. Go kill him. Go get him right now. Go shoot him. And Dave's like, no, let's just watch. So they watch the clown take out a group of like five or six people at the bus stop.
Yeah, so the shadow reaches down, and the T-Rex has red eyes, which is cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the shadow,
I do love, that's my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, and the shadow eats them. And Dave's like, holy shit, because what else do you do when a puppet shadow?
How else do you react to that?
Well, apparently, if you're this guy, you try and take the cop car over from the cop to run the clown over and kill him.
No one has appropriate responses to anything in this movie, which is why it's also kind of funny.
The clown just jumps straight up and just basically flies away.
Yep. Spider clown.
Well, but it's even funnier than that. It's more like Poochie has gone to his home planet because he just kind of...
Yeah, like, you're right.
You sound like a Nintendo there.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what it is. It's just, yeah, it's just, it's like just, he kind of pixels away. Like yeah. they took the frame and just moved him out of screen. But yeah, so I think at this point Debbie goes on. He just decides to take a shower because it's a horror movie.
Well, yeah, she's been running around all night, and she needs to take off her 20 layers of clothes because I'm sure she's sweaty underneath all of that. So she's like dressing down. You just see her feet. And as she's taking off the clothes, you see the popcorn shake off of her clothes. Because remember, they got shot with popcorn earlier.
And then, like Poltergeist, the popcorn crawls across the floor.
Yeah. It's little sounds.
There's a kernel that ends up in the toilet, I believe.
Somehow, apparently. Like, some of it's in the hamper, because she puts her clothes in the hamper, like a decent human being does. Some is on the floor.
Some is in the mirror for some reason.
Yeah.
What is this hamper that you're referring to?
Some people, when they are done wearing clothes for the day, they need to designate a spot to put their dirty clothes in so they know to wash them, that it has already been worn.
You mean people don't wear clothes until they just rot off their body?
Some do. But polite society prefers to right. wear call clothes them that hobos. Are clean.
In New England, we would call it New Hampshire.
I'm done. I'm tired.
Okay. So after she comes out of the shower, the popcorn has sprouted into like sperms with clown heads.
It's like it's like the clown larva, apparently. Yeah. Like that's where they get the new. That's where clowns come from, boys and girls.
Well, like you said, sperm with clown heads.
It's really unsettling.
It's also cool puppetry work, though. Like, it is very really cool fun puppetry work.
And like, you know, like Brittany said, wherever she put clothes. So there's one that comes out of the toilet. There's a couple that come out of the hamper. There's some that come out of the sink for some reason.
Just wherever, I guess, the popcorn is around, yeah.
Like glitter. Just gets everywhere.
Yeah. But while she's taking an hour-long shower, Dave calls Mooney and is like tells him, like, hey, there are clowns running around everywhere, and Mooney is just like, still doesn't buy into it, still thinks it's a conspiracy. And I love, like, they're doing, like, on the radio, like, talking and ending everything with over, and I love Mooney is just like, fuck you, over. And he's off the radio.
Classic John Berman.
And he's like begging for help, like, call the state police, we need help, like, people are dying, like, there's bodies, like, all these bodies everywhere. And then they're saying they're trying to figure out what to do, and the Terenzi's brother's truck is just rolling down the street as they chase after it because they lost control of the truck somehow. And Mike gets the brilliant idea, like, hey, I'm going to catch up with them and get in their truck, and then we can drive around and warn everybody that this is happening. And Dave's like, that's a great idea. I'm going back to the police station.
Well, so, is it at this point that Deb is in that giant balloon?
No, not yet. She is taking her very long shower while this is happening.
Where we are is a clown shows up at the police station.
Mooney is in there, and finally a clown comes to get Mooney, and everybody rejoices. But he still thinks it's a prank.
Well, Mooney locks the clown in the cell with the goth, and the goth, like, what are you in for?
He cuffs the clown after, like, yelling at him and berating him. He cuffs the clown, and then the clown's hands drop off. And Mooney is just kind of surprised, and the clown just kind of toddles back to where the jail cell is. And the poor goth people are... like, we need your phone call, Mooney, come on. Like, they're just locked up for no reason, and Mooney's not helping them. Oh, but he also had, like, he is trying to arrest the clown. Like, you're in Mooney's jail, and you ain't got no rights. Like, Mooney, what the
Mooney,
fuck?
I need Echo and the Bunny Man tickets. They're going to be in town.
Yes. Well, do you see the Banshees are opening?
He does regrow his hands.
Yeah, they pop back out, yeah.
And, then Mooney, like, loses, like, then time passes for some reason.
Well, he gets, the clown goes into the cell, and Mooney, like, the clown's facing away from him, Mooney, like, hits him in the back of the head with his nightstick or something, and the clown's head just, like, just swings around and looks back at him, and that's when Mooney knows he done fucked up. So.
Right.
And the goths just look on. They're just there.
They realize watching. That they're hosed.
Yes.
Mooney goes back to the front office, we presume.
The clown has the
that's when
the party blower thingy. He blows it out of him, and it's a hand and grabs him and grabs him by the throat and just smashes his face against the jail cell.
That's, yeah,
that's beautiful. I love that. Yes.
I think with the last we see of the goths, we're asking the clown, yeah, what are you in
what
for?
What are you in for? Like, well.
And this is when Dave comes back and finds the footprints.
Yeah, the
everywhere.
Footprints everywhere. The
giant clown shoes all over the jail.
It's all dark in there.
Yeah.
And then he finds the presumably the goths in their cocoons.
Cocoon. And this is where we get the bit that said Yusa freaked you out.
Yeah, it's the one part of the movie that actually is really creepy to me when he goes back into the office and he's trying to call the state police and the clown is in there. And he picks up Mooney's corpse, who has been painted to look like a ventriloquist dummy. And the way that Mooney's face, like the quick expressions, like the quick smile, and like his face just goes back to defied again. Like, and the way that he's talking, like, we're going to kill you, Dave, or something. And then the clown just like rips his hand out of the back of Mooney and just drops the body.
Do you think,
like,
that was
I
the inspiration
that.
For that scene in Independence Day?
Oh, it should
where...
be.
Oh. It might have been, because even the voice, like the way the voice is very raspy, like, oh.
It was
I
good.
See that.
I will also say, the paint job that Mooney gets looks exactly like the Jigsaw's puppet from Saw.
Yes.
But it is. It's very unsettling, and they kind of do, you know, a little knothead bit, and then he tears his spine out
it's
or
creepy.
Whatever.
That really is. Like, the movie is not scary to me whatsoever, but that part, I'm just like, ew. Like, that is
a
little unsettling. But Mooney had it coming. He was a dick, so.
Yeah.
He was hanging up people on people when they called 911.
Yeah, he's a dick. He deserves to be a killer clown puppet. Thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When you brought up Jigsaw, I imagine you'll crawl through the cotton candy to get to the top car.
At this point, they are we're essentially watching the ice cream truck.
The Turnsey brothers really still don't believe Mike with everything that's happening, but they were. Mike's like, we gotta go get Debbie, and they're like, does Debbie have roommates? And he's
before
like, yeah,
that happens,
not.
Before that happens, we get, first and foremost, around the same time as the ventriloquist dummy scene, we get Debbie kidnapped in that giant
yes,
balloon.
Yes, Debbie, the clowns are, the clown impersonates Mike.
Yes.
He's outside the door, and she's like, how are you, Mike, you're here? And she opens the door, and it's a clown, and the voice changes, so she slams the door and goes to jump out the window. The clowns are outside with the trampoline, like waiting for her to jump out.
It's the whole firefighter catch spit.
I love that. But then she turns back around, and then the clowns are in her house. So they put her in the balloon, and she becomes the balloon.
Well, the other thing that happens during the police scene.
Yeah.
Is Dave discovers the clown's weakness, which is if you destroy
yeah,
their
yeah,
nose,
yeah.
You
he
destroy the clown.
And they explode into, like, confetti-looking things.
Yes.
So, yes.
It's like Legend of Zelda or something. The villain shows you their weakness right in front. It's very it's helpful. It just blinks at you. But yeah, so the Trenzies and Dave and Mike are driving around with the PA. Essentially
yes.
trying
right.
to tell people to be aware of clowns. The 80s were a hard time for clowning.
But again, the Terenzies don't believe him until they turn a corner and it's like that clown parade. Like they have that giant like float looking thing with all the confetti everywhere. And there's clowns like inside the buildings like dropping down the cocoons. And the one guy's like hiding under the car and he tries to run away. And they get him with the cotton candy gun and they grab him. So the Terenzi brothers are like... Oh, and they finally understand, well, so then they haul ass to Debbie's.
The clowns are hiding out in an amusement park, where
yeah.
that big tent kind of makes sense, and one of the things they did to get in there was, like, throw a bunch of pies at the security guard and get
until
him...
Until he melts?
Yes.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Which they show later. It's like his...
Like, his skeleton hand is, like, sticking out of the pile, because the Trenzy brothers are like, wow, it's like melted ice cream, and then the one sticks his finger in it, which I don't understand why his finger doesn't melt. But...
He's dead on the inside already.
Okay. That makes sense.
Well, and this is a year before an even more famous clown parade party, right? Because this is next year's Batman 89, where
yes.
the Joker has the...
Yes.
Yes.
For a second, I thought you were bringing up It.
No, yeah, I was like...
No, I mean, I heard an analysis, like, why clowns were so big in the 80s, because they were.
Yeah.
They were saying, well, when you have a president people don't trust and a crazy and crazy things are happening, you have clowns. That's why clowns came back a few years ago as well.
Well, have you ever seen me juggle?
You know, this is such an 80s movie. If Reagan had made it, like, not a cameo, but, like, if there had been a Reagan joke, it would have been...
Oh,
right.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's 1985, Back to the Future. Ronald Reagan? The actor?
The actor?
They slip the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of clown.
Gross. That one was a gross one.
Yeah, well, anyway,
Well, okay. They go to the amusement park. They find the tent.
Yeah.
They go inside. This time Dave has a gun with no bullets. He doesn't think to bring extra bullets.
Yeah, he has a couple bullets, but did not think this through.
But they're hiding behind the door, and this is where the crazy straw scene happens.
Yeah, they well, no, because the Terenzi brothers, like, they're having the whole debate about, like, why they're here, and then, like, we have to stick together. And then the floor opens up, and the Terenzi brothers drop into the ball pit. And they're like, where did they go? I don't know. They're always just running around doing their own thing. But then, like, the girl killer clowns are down there with their inflatable boobs. Like, they're just looking at them, and then the boobs just pop up. And the brothers are like, are you Debbie's roommates?
Wait. Boobs don't actually do that?
We don't like to talk about
it. Who are you hanging out with, Daniel?
No one. That's what he had to ask.
Nick's got a point.
it's a process. It's uncomfortable.
Oh, okay.
It's like is it the third Terminator movie where the Terminator looks at the model on the billboard and just goes.
If you ever listen to the commentary on that, where Arnold Schwarzenegger's like going, I wish women could do that in real life.
Although I will say, my wife doesn't listen, but. Now that she's pregnant and about to burst, I can tell you she probably wishes she could shrink them back down.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
The big boobs are not what they shrink out to
they're
be.
Not what they shrink out to
be. Hurts. Like, sure, it's not fair. Anyway, that's a whole other debate. But yeah.
That's fair. At this point, we get the crazy straw scene. We get
I like how the clown comes out and he's like feeling the cocoons, like he's looking for a watermelon, like he's knocking on it, he's squeezing it, and then he finds the one that's like ripe enough, I guess.
Yeah.
So then he has this giant crazy straw that sticks in and just as they watch on in horror.
And it goes on and on. Like they lovingly film this straw for about 2.5 minutes. It's amazing.
It's a giant straw.
It is a really big straw.
It's a huge straw. And then he just pulls it out and walks away with it.
He burps. He has the nice belch out because you have to know that like he's satisfied now. And then he waddles off.
Just to describe it too, like this costume doesn't. Like, there's not a lot of room to move, so he kind of, like, shuffles.
Yeah, because the legs are super short on it. Like, the outfit is, like, all the way down almost, like, mid-calf.
Yeah.
So he just has this very awkward waddle, but he's a big clown anyway. Yeah. So it's awkward.
Plus, I assume the clown shoes made it hard to walk.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. So, at this point, they freak out, but they are able to get out Debbie.
Yes.
And they escape kind of through this...
The Debbaloon. They find the Debbaloon, and Dave shoots it open. And
it doesn't hit her, luckily.
Yeah, but like she falls out of the balloon and she's like, Dave, oh my god, and she's hugging all over him and Mike's just there like, hey. She's not even paying attention to
him. Oh no, Dad, no.
She was still in the balloon. at this point they are surrounded and the Terenzis come back into this movie.
And conquered the female clowns.
it looks like they conquered the female clowns. Conquered them. They're all torn up and kissy marks all over their faces.
Oh, the Terenzi scored.
They got some clown.
Good thing they got some clown action because they die pretty quick afterwards when that giant final boss clown.
No.
You think so?
You think they die.
They make it.
In the original script, they were supposed to die, and then audiences wanted a more upbeat ending.
Okay.
They come back. They hid in the freezer.
That's right.
It's like Indiana Jones refrigerator.
Yeah, that protects you from anything. It's fine.
The Terenzi in the fridge.
I like where they slide down the pole, too, like trying to get down, and like Deb goes first, and she stops, and like, why did you stop? And they look down, and there's like this beast down below. Like, yeah, that's a good reason. Jump out there.
That was a funny bit.
And like the chase through like the like tilting arches and the big like fish looking thing they run through. I don't know.
And the door that opens another door.
Yeah, the door. It's another door. It's another door. We know there's doors. Yes, Jesus.
At this point, they release the JoJo the Clownzilla.
The brothers like burst in, like I am JoJo the Clown. I am the great and powerful JoJo. And then they're fighting over the microphone because they're constantly bickering and, like, slap fighting each other. And but the clowns buy it. Like, the clowns have the main trio, like, up on a pedestal thing. Like, I don't really know what they're on.
The milk crate challenge.
Apparently. But also, all the clowns have bats now. Like, where did their guns go? Like, this could have ended very easily for the clowns, but they have bats.
Well,
and
they
just
didn't want to rupture the whole of their tent.
Well, I don't think that...
But they were firing the popcorn gun before. No, yeah. It's just that the movie has to end.
Yeah, but they're, like...
They used up all their clown ammo on the town. They've got like hundreds of cocoons in there.
There was an awful lot of cocoons in there, pretty much the whole town. But yeah, then the clowns are actually like stopping and they're watching, like they're kind of paying attention to it. So they're like, wow, we can get away. But then all the clowns shift their focus to above the pedestal thing that they're on because the ceiling is opening, and here comes Clown Kong.
I'll link
the puppet strings too, which I really like. He's on the strings, and then the strings just release.
Yeah, and it's cool. It's stop motion. It looks great.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
At this point, I mean, the movie's screaming towards the end. The ice cream truck is destroyed.
Oh yeah.
They pick up Dave the cop. like he's going to eat. Like again, it's the scene out of King Kong.
He's like, Dave tells Mike and Deb to run. He's like, I'm going to stay and take care of this, but there's an exit. Take it. And Deb's like, oh my God, no, Dave. Oh my God. And he's like, no, I have to. He has to play the hero. So the big clown does get him. And so Mike and Debbie are running out. Also, Dave calls her Little Debbie at one point, and I'm just like, ew. They're running out, and just I love the way that Debbie runs. Like, she runs annoyingly as she talks. Like, she's, like, bouncing. Oh, my God. And then here comes the state police. Like, the cavalry has arrived, and they all stop, and you see the tent, like, starting to pick up. Like, it starts spinning like a top, and it starts raising up like it's going to take back off because it is a spaceship. It cuts back to inside the tent, and Dave is in the grasp of the Clown Kong, Clownzilla. He takes his badge off and pops open, like, the pointy part.
Yep.
And pops the clown's nose with his badge, killing the clown and effectively destroying the tent spaceship.
And it works.
And see, he cuts back to the outside, and Debbie's like, no, Dave, oh my God, because the thing explodes, and then the little clown car that the clowns had all been earlier, of course, explodes away from the tent, so everybody's like all arms and everything as the door swings open, and it's Dave, hooray, and also the Trenzy brothers, because they really didn't die, they were hiding in the freezer. And I just really like, too, that both Deb and Mike were like, Dave, you're okay. And they both go running over and are both hugging him. And I like to believe that after this movie ended, they entered a very pleasant polyamorous relationship. Because, like, Dave is, like, hugging and, like, kissing on Debbie, and Mike is fine with it, like, at this point. And I think that they have bonded over their trauma and have entered a relationship. And I support
nice
this.
And tight.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Good. Trenzy brothers are just pays to watch.
Yes, but then, like, after the ship explodes, like, pies end up, like, flying down and hitting everybody.
Yeah, that's what confused me. Does that mean the clowns are still around?
Yeah, and did they die? Because the clown or the pies are obviously, like, some sort of weird, like, acid that melts people. So.
Yeah, I think that maybe it's a bit of a downer ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut to the sequel, it's like opiate-addicted Mike with half his face missing.
Yeah, they're, like, melted off.
You
like,
know how
burnt.
I got these scars?
Oh, boy.
He's the Joker now as a tribute to the trauma he saw in his past.
Well, and then I got these clowns.
Chris Nolan's killer clowns from outer space.
I can think of worse Jokers. That's all I'm going to say.
That's fair. That's fair. Jared Leto. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the movie right
that's
there.
It.
That's it. That's
killer clowns in there from outer space.
Matt. You do not seem as delighted as Brittany and I were.
I watched this a while ago and have forgotten a good bit of it. That's why I wasn't talking so much this time. But I never actually saw the whole movie. I expected something might be so bad it's good. And I just thought it was kind of dumb. So I guess if you're going to see it, do it for like the novelty value. Once.
As he gasps out once.
Because there's a I almost had some popcorn. The clown is coming out my throat.
There you go.
Gross.
Clown.
First and foremost, the effects work in this movie is fantastic. Yeah. It's all practical effects. It's low budget, and it still looks great.
Yep.
I mean, I wish more horror or anyone would do the same thing these days. In terms of the movie itself, though, yeah, I mean, there's definitely some funny scenes. There are definitely some funny moments. Overall, I'm not sure how well the plot holds up because it's kind of non-existent. It's basically just a parody of any number of 50s sci-fi movies, and I kind of wish they had gone full Airplane with the material.
Yeah. Fair.
But they didn't, so that's kind of a downer, but I definitely understand why this has a cult following, and I definitely understand why people, especially if you've never seen it, enjoy it. And if you haven't seen it, you should definitely check it out, because you're either going to really love this and watch it like 20 times, or you're probably not, but you at least need to figure that out for yourself.
Yeah. Brittany?
I enjoy it. Movies don't have to be super deep and meaningful to be fun, and this movie is just fun. That's what it is. It takes it at face value. It knows it's not a serious movie, and it runs with it. Like y'all said, the puppetry work, this practical effects are amazing. The expressions on the clown's face, like the way their eyes move, the way they blink, the smiles, like the creepy smiles, I love it. It's a fun movie. It's not a serious movie. It's not scary, save for like the slightly creepy dummy Mooney. It's just a silly, slapsticky 80s movie. So I enjoy it. You should watch it. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I like this movie a lot. I thought it was fun. You should, I agree with Daniel. You should see this. Seek it out. MGM put out a beautiful Blu-ray release, which is probably, even if you rented it, that's probably the version you saw, the cleaned up, you know, anniversary edition of it 20 years later or 30 years later.
Arrow's also got a very good video release of it.
Yeah. So yeah, find it. I love this movie. I thought it was so stupid. Oh god, it's stupid. But it's fun. Like, there's nothing. This is the movie that, like, when Halloween comes around, you can just throw on, and like when the trick-or-treaters are still out, because there's nothing that's gonna be bad. So if they catch it, it's fine. There's no boobs. But boobs aside, like, there's some gruesome deaths, but there's not like there's just puddles of blood. It's not like Nightmare on Elm Street where they liquefy Johnny Depp and it's dripping from the ceiling. Like, there's no scenes like that even.
No, killer even, clowns, bitch.
Even the biker's head getting knocked off is not bloody. Like, you don't really see blood. You just see his head land in a trash can and that's it. There's no blood.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah, totally. This is what I'll be watching again. This is a lot of fun. Anyway, so that's that. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for, you know, giving us the vote of confidence of downloading this episode. Thanks, Brittany, for guesting. And
thank you so much for having me. Come see me at Netherworld and escape the Netherworld year-round.
There you go. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Copsey. Podcasts are edited by Daniel Settis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.